You can be seated. The title of my message is Greatest Name in Heaven and on Earth. And I want to read Psalm 8, the full psalm, but we will only go through the first verse. O Lord, well, first of all, it says to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of mine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. When you look at Psalm 8, verse 1, which is what we're going to hone in on, it talks about how excellent is thy name. That's what I'm going to focus in on this morning, but I want to give you a few introductory thoughts. It says to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. Gittith is a stringed instrument of music. The word is found in the titles of Psalm 8, 81, and 84. The word Gittish signifies belonging to Gath. It probably denotes either a musical instrument or a kind of music derived from Gath, where David sojourned for a long time during the persecution of Saul. Remember, he went to the king of Gath in 1 Samuel 21. And so, again, these are just little tidbits not to puff you up with knowledge, but to give you knowledge so that you can understand that, look, these things are important. They're there for a reason. Why are they there? So that you can understand this is during the time likely when David was fleeing from Saul, and he wrote this psalm during that time. And think about it. If you've ever gone through persecution or people have ever treated you badly, I guess I should ask for a show of hands. How many of you have ever been mistreated in your life? And I'm pretty sure it'd be unanimous. Listen, it happens. What we've got to do is we have to figure out how to deal with those things, how to not get bitter, not get vindictive, not get to the point where we think we've got to handle these things ourselves, because you don't. If you get out of the way and let God handle it, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It's a promise from God. He'll take care of you. He took care of David. He took care of Saul. He took care of those that came up against David. They called him names, and we've looked at those things and we've seen that. And God protected David in a special way, but not necessarily that he didn't get hit with a stone or he didn't get hit with a spear. We know that. But the more important thing is that God protected his heart and his mind. That's much more important than just physical well-being. You can be physically well and spiritually and mentally a basket case. I've seen it over and over again. What we've got to learn is that the more important thing is, how's your heart? How's your mind? Think on these things, is that verse that we're looking at. Those things that are lovely and pure and of good report. But it also says honest. You don't put your head in the sand and say, well, I'm just going to wait for 2 years or 4 years and then pull my head out of the sand and see what's going on then and put it in there again. That's not what life is about. Life's about engaging, figuring out how to influence people for Christ. That's life. How do you influence people in this world? Are you influencing them for good or for bad, for positive or negative? What is it that you are doing, and how are you influencing people? So let's look at Psalm 8, 1. Notice that verse 9 has the exact same quote as verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. When you see any type of pattern like this in a psalm, always ask yourself why a psalm is written in this fashion. Why does it say this in verse 1 and repeat it in verse 9? Now, you know, in songs, you frequently have that type of style. But no word is unimportant in the Bible. We're going to see that later on. I changed my message this morning because there was something that I felt like I needed to go ahead and show you, something that really helped me, really that I struggled with for quite a while on understanding why the Bible said something the way that it said it as compared to the modern versions. And the argument was the modern versions were stronger on the deity of Christ than the King James Bible because of this one particular verse in Titus that we'll look at later. When you see that pattern, always ask yourself why. In between those two statements in verses 1 and 9, there are statements of praise in the first and last verse that draw attention in between to God's willingness to visit man despite the great gulf between God and His creation. Do you realize that you can't really have fellowship with a holy and perfect and righteous God apart from Jesus Christ? You can't. You can't. We're going to look at the verses like Romans 3. It says we've come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? We've all sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. You can't have fellowship with a holy being if you are unholy. So what does He do for Christians? He makes us righteous. You're made righteous by the blood that Jesus Christ shed and the fact that you accepted Him as your Savior. You're made righteous in the eyes of God according to the Bible. When God sees you, He doesn't see all your sin. He sees His Son. That's so very important to understand. Our praise should be focused daily upon that very thing. Praise for God becoming a man to pay the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Christ spanned that gulf of sin, thus enabling man to have fellowship with his Maker. I want us to consider that great gulf for a little while. I quoted to you Romans 3, 22 and 23. Go ahead and turn there and we'll go ahead and read it and go through it and act like you don't even really know the verse or you've never seen it before. Because listen, it is bad to take Scripture for granted. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. If you're saved, the fact that it talks about Him, you've come short of the glory of God, and you haven't come short of that glory anymore because you're saved, it's still an important truth to focus in on. Verse 22 of Romans 3. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That gulf that God, that Jesus Christ spanned. That's what Psalm 8's about. Psalm 8 says, "Our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens." And then it goes through and it says, "Why are you mindful of man?" Why? Why does God care? And I'll tell you why God cares, because we are part of His creation. If you've ever painted anything, drawn anything, built anything, that's a part of your creation. It's special to you. It's more special than a lot of other things that are in life. If you've ever built a relationship, you know what? That ought to be special to you. It's not, you know, sometimes we think about, well, it's got to be something I can touch or feel or... No, no. What about relationships? If you've built those relationships are important. They're important to you. Look at Romans 3:19 before that verse. "Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." It says the law was given that every mouth may be stopped, all the world become guilty. That's why He gave the law. He gave a law that nobody could keep. He gave a law that nobody could fulfill except for Jesus Christ. Because He is God manifest in the flesh. He's God become man. He could do it, but nobody else could do it. And the only way to be the perfect righteous sacrifice was to keep every bit of that law. If you died for your own sins, you would be dying for a useless cause. Because you can't pay for your own sin. Christ had to pay for it. Look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Again, that great gulf is what we're looking at here. Verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. He concluded everybody in unbelief because people don't believe. It's not natural to have faith. It's not natural to believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father by me. It's not natural to think that Christianity in its exclusiveness is not somehow, you know, and I told you about the guy from that came over here, worked on the computers. He says, well, it just seems like, you know, you're boasting. And I said, you're right. Unless it's true. If Jesus is the way, it's not boasting if He is the way. The truth and the life, and no man comes unto the Father by Him. It is not boasting if it's true. It is only boasting if I told you you had to become a Muslim and go blow yourself up in order to have 72 virgins. Well, isn't there a problem with that? Yeah, it's not even true. It's not even true, and people are doing it because, listen, it's easier to accept a lie than it is the truth. Understand that. A lie is much more appealing to man than the truth is. You can mark that down in everything in this world. Now, listen, you know what you have to do? You have to fight that propensity within yourself. You have to fight that and say, I'm not going to be like everybody else. The Bible is supposed to change my life, change my thinking, change my being. It'll do that if you let it do that. But if you don't, it won't. Look at Ecclesiastes. Well, let me just quote this one to you. Turn to Galatians 3, but Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, for there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That great gulf, it's there. Galatians 3, again, I probably say this often enough for it to be half the Bible. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, Galatians 3:21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Now, wait a minute. Why couldn't God give a law that man could be made righteous through that law? Because of the sinfulness of man. In other words, you say, well, is it impossible for God to do that? Well, He made man with a free will. With a free will, He could not give man a law that man would choose to accept. Because even if you kept everything in the law, you know what would happen to you? Anybody? You'd be proud. That's a sin. Man, if you said, well, I'm gonna do it all, and then somebody comes to you and says, hey, what about you? You fail. Oh no, I've never failed. Oh, I've never messed. I've never told a lie. I've never stolen. I've never killed anybody. I've never done this, never done that. I,